This is a trimmed down podcast version of Tracks of My Life from RNIB Connect Radio. Hello, I'm Toby Davey and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio. In Tracks of My Life, we invite a guest to select a few tracks that mean something to them and mark moments in their life, from maybe that first track they ever heard, right through to one track that they would like to pass on that might give hope for the future. My guest today is Itto Auttoni, a totally blind, multilingual journalist, public speaker and Fair Rights scholar, who is currently the Accessibility Outreach Manager for AudioEye. Itto grew up in Morocco and now lives with her husband, Micaiah, in Kansas City, Missouri. Hello, Itto, and welcome to Tracks of My Life here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, Toby. Thank you so much for hosting me today. And I'm really excited to talk with you and share my love and how I use music in my daily life with your audience.
And your first track, Itto, takes you back to a sunny day on the sidewalk in Morocco, and a track that you now play at least every week, and one that you say is a track that you put in your mind as a track that you would like to talk to your biological family about, to say to them that you love and believe in yourself. And I wondered if you could maybe take me back to time before that time on the sidewalk in Morocco. What was life like for you before that time?
So a little bit about me. I was born and raised in a very isolated area in Morocco. Like a few mud-built houses and tents. I lost my mother when I was very little. I can't remember basically anything about her. That left me on the hands of my biological family, at first with my father's side and then with my mother's side, but with both my father and my mother's side, I experienced a lot of abuse in all forms. And I always believed in myself and had hope, dreams, and I was really, really positive. And always, somehow, I knew that that life would become my past.
And your first track is one of a few of your Tracks of My Life tracks by Katy Perry. There's quite a few of them there. And I wondered why this particular Katy Perry track.
So the song, of course, is not meant to be, you know, for people like me, but I interpret songs based on situations and circumstances, right? Part of me that is there and will never go away. You know, I am the person who decides to say what I am capable of doing and not doing. I am the person who gets to define my life and my existence and not anybody else. And basically, I speak or communicate or have conversation with my family, which I never have and will never have in person, through the song, saying that this is the part of me that you'll never take away from me, basically, just like Katy Perry is saying that they will never take that part of me that I love myself, I value myself, accept myself, and I know that I am valuable, even if they didn't, or even if they don't admit or acknowledge that I am human first, and then a person who deserves love, care, and be valued by others.
And I suppose that sort of afternoon sitting on the sidewalk with the sunshine in Morocco is much of a time of that time, I suspect.
At that time, I was homeless, and two things that were, well, I would say more, but two things that I enjoyed at the moment were listening to the music through radio stations, and I heard the song, and it was like a message. It spoke to me. And since then, I fall in love with the song, and I play it at least once a week.
Part Part of Me by Katy Perry there, and a track for you that reflects back on your early life and takes you back to that moment on the sidewalk in Morocco. We now come to a track that marks maybe more of a statement than perhaps a particular time in your life, but I could be slightly wrong there. But Itto, your next track is one that is more about something somebody said to you, and I quote that they said, "You are a blind woman. You're never going to accomplish anything in life, and I'm not a burden on women like you," which must have been an awful thing for somebody to say. And I think it was by somebody who was very rich, highly educated, and an international businessman. What did that sort of statement mean to you, and what did it make you feel at that time?
Well, at the time, I was struggling with education and a lot of things, and I was talking out loud my dreams and my goals with everyone. And when I told that person that, they said, like I said, basically I was comparing myself with them, and I said, you know, you've been able to achieve all of this, so I can achieve this and something more. And the person says, "No, I am not a burden on society like you, and I am not a blind," just like, you know, how people with disabilities are seen. People think we are a burden on society and we cannot accomplish anything. And honestly, that song, when I heard it, it made me feel like there is a lot of people like this man. He's not the only one. And as a matter of fact, actually, I connected with the person and they needed my help 2 years ago. And I was able to offer help through my knowledge and my skills and what I've been able to accomplish, because I am in a position where I was able to help solve a big problem that they were facing.
So in a fact, something that they said to you has now sort of, you know, made be more of a point to them in a way, because you've been able to help them.
Yeah, it was really emotional. We had a WhatsApp phone call and they were saying, like, the only person who can help me is you. And I said, I don't think so. I think there are other people who might help. But it was interesting to see that I was the one that they thought he thought about and reaching out to me for help. So, and they hope that many people would learn a lesson from this, to know that where we are now does not define where we will be in the future. And what people think that we can do is not actually true. We are the ones who know what we can and cannot do. And if we have dreams and goals, I think that the people should encourage, motivate, and basically help people accomplish those dreams and those goals. And if they can't help them, the best way is to just leave them alone. Because if it were someone who didn't have self-confidence and hopes and goals and dreams that I had, those words could have damaged anyone, right? Our words have consequences, and we should be very careful and considerate on what we say, when we say it, and why.
And I think people's perception is sometimes very blinkered, you know, people's perception of what blind, partially sighted people can do, even in this day of technology that we are in at the moment, and all these opportunities, and, you know, there's lots of blind, partially sighted people doing amazing things, but still some people think, well, there's only certain jobs that blind, partially sighted people can do, and I think that's very blinkered.
Yeah, actually, just last month, I got a job representing a company. I'm an accessibility outreach manager for AudioEye, which is an American company hoping to extend to become all international. We've served some global websites, but focusing on accessibility. And when I got the job, I actually spoke with the person about it, because he was trying to help me think about, like, 401k and health insurance and all of that. And we are best friends. And he was saying that you have accomplished a lot, more than anyone I've ever met. And sometimes we still talk about that moment when I found the song that comforted me at the time. And sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes we make fun of it, saying, like, you know, we're humans and we have ideologies that make us say things that are not true most of the times, or believe or think in things that are not true.
And I think that the track that you have chosen and the title actually says exactly what it means and what we should be doing. What is the title of the track and what does it say to you now?
So it's Unbreakable by Fady, and it's basically all these songs that I listen to have slightly, like, have the same message, or even if they don't, I interpret them the same way. Like, I am unbreakable. Nothing will break me. That if someone says something or whatever, think about, like, whatever people, whatever ideas or beliefs or thoughts or whatever they have about me, that will never break me. Like, and yeah, and the song is basically that I know that, even though at the time it was one person, but of course the song applies to a lot of people who exist just for those purposes, to do those things, to tell people that they cannot accomplish things, they cannot do things. Because it feels to know that I don't care at all. Your words don't mean a thing at all. I choose to rise, you choose to fall. Does it feel to know that I am capable of more than you will ever know? Don't tell me I'm not good enough. Don't you bring me down. Unbreakable there by Fady featuring Miracle 2, and one that I think says it all to everybody as well. Itta, we now come to a track that marks time for you at university in Morocco, and what to me sounds like a sort of quite shocking statement to make, as one of your university professors, I think, said to you that Helen Keller's story was a complete lie. At the time, had you read Helen Keller's story, and what did her story mean to you at that moment in your life? Yes, I read Helen Keller's story before my professor said what she said. I read it through my friend's eyes because I didn't have access to technology and Braille. As we all know, printing Braille is very expensive. And, you know, having an embosser or owning an embosser is expensive too. A lot of blind people can't afford to have one. So I mainly relied on my friends to read to me and strangers. And when I read the story, I got really excited. And I went and I shared it with my professor. And my professor said, all of the, you know, disability rights, basically, Helen Keller and everything like that, like blind people doing things or deaf people or, you know, everyone with a disability. And in Morocco, disability mainly is like physical. But we don't talk about invisible disabilities. They are seen as something way worse than visible disabilities. Like, people with physical disabilities are seen as people who can and will never accomplish anything. And my professor said that Americans just lie about how and why people with disabilities accomplish things.
And I think before this time, before coming to university, obviously you had gone through quite a traumatic time when losing your sight, and you had to sort of learn to walk again, learn to function as a person again. And I wondered if you were able to maybe sort of give me an idea of how hard you had to fight during that time and to get to university.
I was born sighted, and at first I was fighting to survive and live, because I grew up with, unfortunately, very, very angry, non-loving family. And at 17, a family member threw a kitchen sharp object and blinded me. And I ended up in a hospital for a while. From there, I ended up on the streets. And I was lucky enough, like, people would think, you know, being homeless is bad, but I don't disagree. Being homeless is terrible, and it has left a lot of scars and broken parts of, especially my physical body is not as strong as it used to be. But I was given the opportunity to go to school for the first time at the age of 17 when I lost my sight. So I had to fight for many things, and I had to also fight to change my state or my life at the moment and what I was experiencing, like how to overcome homelessness. And I experienced hunger and abuse again from people on the streets and other homeless people like myself at the time. And like, as I said, when I was 17, I was blinded. I was 100% deserted by my family. I started school and I was learning how to not have the desire to want family, because it was, despite of the violence, the beatings, the abuse and everything that my family had me go through, I still wanted a family. I still was jealous and I envied my classmates and people I've seen having loving family. And for 6 years, I had to go through all of that emotional, psychological, and physical pain. The only way, like as I said earlier, is listening to the music on the streets, reading anything I could find and everything, whether through Braille or someone's eyes, and having dreams. I had dreams to work for the UN. I've accomplished that. Dream to come to the US to become a journalist. I didn't have a dream to become a Fulbrighter, though, because I didn't know what is that. I didn't know what Fulbright was. But I think a dream to come to the US was like half a dream, I guess, because like I didn't know about the Fulbright. Like, how would I come to the US was something that I wasn't worried about, but I knew that by working hard and educating myself, I would overcome things that I were facing.
And Ditto, what is the track that marks this time and motivates you now?
It's Rise by Katy Perry, and I've been listening to that song for a long time. It's almost like the previous one, but this one is like, no matter what challenges I face, no matter what, like no matter how painful the circumstances were, I would overcome them and become the person I am today.
And I believe you've played this track to that university professor, and I wondered what they make of the track and whether they've retracted that remark about Helen Keller too.
It's really hard because we, as human beings all over the globe, not only Morocco, we don't talk as much about emotions. But now we are friends, and the professor is very supportive to what I do. And I receive really nice messages and emails. And when we talk, even like deep down, maybe they believe that I and Helen Keller and other people with disabilities can accomplish things, but there hasn't been like a clear apologizing, but not but there's a huge change. Like to have someone become your ally after being someone who didn't even believe in me is a huge accomplishment and is a huge change.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. I won't just conform.
Katy Perry there and Rise, and a very motivational track for you, Ito. We now come to a track that I think you have given to all your friends in a way of letting them know that they have been there for you throughout your life and have supported you. And I wondered, how have your friends been there for you, Ito, and how have they supported you through your life so far?
I don't think I would have been able to accomplish what I have if it weren't for my friends. You know, as I said, I grew up being abused by my family. My family is not in my life, my biological family. And if it were not for my friends' support, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish all of this. So when I came to America, I had, of course, to make new friends because I didn't know anyone when I arrived to the state of Arkansas. And I was listening to pop music, as always, and I came across that song. And I was poor after I had surgeries. When I came to America, my health, my physical health, started to collapse because I was relaxed, I felt safe, and I no longer had to worry about becoming homeless and all of that. And my body just started the physical pain, and I couldn't walk. I had to use a wheelchair, and I ended up at the emergency room many times, sometimes even like 3 or 4 times a day, until my American father said, "Call the doctors to perform an MRI or he's not taking me home." And when they did, they found that I had 2 tumors, benign tumors on my right hip. And I am totally blind, and the blind person using a wheelchair, even if you have an automatic wheelchair, you can't use it to go around on your own because, you know, it's 2 disabilities in one, right? I was looking up things and I'm like, I needed like a talking wheelchair. Well, yeah.
GPS on it and stuff. Or
yeah, but my friends were there and I didn't feel like... I mean, I felt the physical pain, but I felt very supported. Like, my friends took me wherever I wanted to go, and they were with me in the hospital, the emergency room at 2 a.m., trying to actually sing the song with me, playing it together and singing and trying to distract me as much as possible. And in December of 2020, I was too poor, and I couldn't buy my friends gifts, and I sent it to them, and it was the best gift that they all received. They just loved it.
And this is also a track to your partner too as well. And how have they been there for you over the last few years?
Yeah, actually my story with my partner is funny. I met him the second day I arrived to Arkansas, to the US, and we had dinner together at American dinner, like for international students. And I forgot that I met him, but he didn't. He thought I was cool and he wanted to be friends. And then after that, I think like a few months or a year, something like that, we became friends. And then we ended up going out for coffee. And everyone in the city thought we were dating. Everyone was like, "When are you guys going to get married?" And I was really like, I'm like, "Whoa, people, just like if you see 2 people together, there has to be something." And I told, like, I was like trying to say, "Yeah, we're not dating. We're just best friends." And people were saying, "When are you going to get married?" And I was like, "Okay, I think there's no way for me to convince them that we're just friends." So I was telling people we're going to get married tomorrow, just for fun, you know. And we're married now, but from best friends to lovers, and now we're family. But I sent it to him too. He was staying with me when I had my eye surgeries, and he and my other friends too. But that was how we became close to each other and stayed together for a long time as friends. And as I said, now we're married and we live together.
We all need that someone who gets you like no one else, right when you need it the most. We all need a soul to rely on, a shoulder to cry on, a friend through the highs and the lows. I'm not gonna make it a la 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 la.
So, Alone by Alan Walker and Ava Maxfair, and a wonderful track too, and one for all your friends and for your partner as well. We now come to another Katy Perry track, Eto, and one that takes you back to the summer of 2020 and time again in hospital for urgent surgery, too, this time. Eto, would you mind telling me a little bit about this urgent surgery, as I think the earlier damage to your eyes may have caused some very sort of severe, I suppose, effect to your health?
So when I I didn't know this, which, you know, ignorance is a bless. Sometimes, not always. So I didn't know that my eyes, I mean, I knew that they were damaged, but I didn't know that I needed surgery that bad, right? So I was busy fighting for life, and I was busy fighting for my education, fighting for books and everything to accomplish my dreams. And when I think like a few, like a year or a couple of years after the incidents in 2007, I started having terrible headaches. And one thing that was really, really hard was taking shower. Water, eat, or shampoo or anything would go inside my eyes and it would hurt. In Morocco, I didn't have I didn't have shower at home, so I wasn't taking shower every day. I had to go to the public bath once a week, and I learned to live with pain. I didn't know how to get rid of it, and I just learned to adapt and live with pain and make it part of my daily life. And again, when I came to the States, I was a graduate student at the university, and I didn't have time or energy, or I didn't even think about going to the hospital for my eyes. I went there for my hip and the tumors I mentioned before, but I forgot about my eyes. I thought, you know, I'm blind and that's it. Like, there is no, I'm not going to gain my sight again. It's a waste of time to go to an eye doctor. Of course, you know, the beliefs that I was brought to think and all of that. And when after I graduated and I settled in the US, I was sent to the hospital to check if my eyes were good. And the doctor says it's an emergency and you have to go under surgery. And it was scheduled for September 3rd, 2020. And I was scared because my hip surgery was really hard. It was successful because the doctors said that I wouldn't be able to walk for 9 months. I was really thinking, wow, if I didn't have my friends to take me on the wheelchair, I would never be able to go out for 9 months. But I was lucky and I recovered and I was able to walk after 10 days. But for my eye surgeries, I was worried because, I mean, whatever I was expecting, it actually happened. So I was that day trying to distract myself, and I turned on music, and the Katy Perry song popped up. It popped up on my playlist. And it's about someone who is going through a hangover after like Friday night. but in my case, it was basically, you know, it's the title is Cry About It Later. And like, you know, thinking about my surgery, and I'm like, tonight I'm having fun, I'll cry about it later. And I started auto-playing the song for the whole day and the whole night. I knew that I wasn't going to have coffee. So I decided to, have coffee the morning of the surgery. I decided to have it before 12 a.m. and spend the whole night listening to Katy Perry. And the song made me dance and as I said, distracted and happy. And I still play it now whenever, even when I come across technology barriers, when my computer decides to not work or something, I'm like, tonight I'm having fun. I'll cry about it later. And my friends came to visit me that evening, and everyone now is playing it, and it reminds them of me and that evening. I'll cry about it later. I'll cry about it later. Tonight I'm having fun. Tonight I'm having fun. I'll cry about it later.
Cry About It Later by Katy Perry there, and a track that you've made your own, and also, I suppose, changed some of the meaning of the track as well, too.
Yeah.
Ito, we now come to another track that marks time in hospital again, but this time to remove what are PVNS tumours, when you were working on your thesis at the same time. Firstly, could you tell me what a PVNS tumour is and how has it affected your life?
So that is a tumour that I was talking about. It's a benign. I had two on my right hip. And PVNS, I actually don't think, I don't know if even you, but it's hard to pronounce. It's like, it stands for pigmented synovitis nevrologis. I'm torturing the words because I'm not a scientist. I am not a doctor. I started having the hip pain back in 2014. And of course, again, I couldn't, I had no time, energy or resources to even, I had to distract myself to not think about it. But when I found myself at the hospital, I actually had exchanged emails with my professors that I was going to defend on Friday. And the week before that, Friday before that, I went with my friends out for Friday night and we were playing around and listening to the music in the car and I couldn't walk. And I ended up at the emergency room, I think like around 12 a.m. And I stayed there the whole Saturday. Then I went back on Sunday. Then on Tuesday, they performed MRIs and they found that I had PVNS, which is again benign tumors that are extremely painful, the worst pain ever. And I ended up having surgery that Thursday. And Friday, my professors were emailing and there was no one to reply to their emails. There was no thesis defense and I had to postpone it until later. But still, I defended on a wheelchair and I was listening to, again, music to know that that was just a part of time that was really hard and challenging. But I was determined and confident that I will overcome it.
So it must have been quite hard because having experienced everything that you've experienced in your life and the knockbacks and the various hospital, you know, sort of surgery and stuff, and to have something else, it must have been hard to not think, gosh, this is another thing that's happening to me. Can I carry on? But there must have been such a resolve in you to actually fight on and think, okay, well, I can get through this. I've been through everything else in life, you know, this is just another thing to get through.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So it's very much your personality and your fight that's gotten you through everything.
Yes. I mean, there has been people in my life, but at the end of the day, I am the one who has to fight and try to find ways to overcome challenges. And I have been using music as a way to, like, not do that, but just to sometimes distract, sometimes focus and think. And I have interpreted like a lot of songs to fit my way of thinking and doing.
And what is the track that you've chosen that got you through this time and probably gets you through a lot of things in life?
There's a lot. It depends on, basically, it depends on time. It depends on the circumstances. But this one is Warrior by Avril Lavigne.
I'll pick my battles because I know I'm going to win the war. I'm not rattled cause I shattered all of this before. Steadier than steel cause I'm ready with my shield and sword. Back on the saddle cause I gathered all my strength for more.
Avril Lavigne there and Warrior. Itto, we now come to your final track, the one that you might like to pass on to others that might either inspire people or give them hope for the future. What is your final track and why have you chosen it?
It's Follow Your Arrow by Kacey Musgraves. I, by the way, like a lot of Kacey Musgraves' songs. And it's basically, so we should be nice to people and we should try to respect, not try, but we should respect people as we want to be respected. And we should be ourselves. Because if we're not ourselves, we would not be able to, like, if we are happy, we will make our other people happy. And happiness, that there's, a lot of books out there that talk about, oh, if you want to be happy, you buy this car or that, whatever, advertisements. And but I think if we want to be happy, we should be ourselves. And Casey Musgraves is basically sings about that, about if whatever you do, you will never like please everyone. And before I even started listening to Casey Musgraves or even know her songs, I adopted that approach. For example, when I remove a headscarf in Morocco, I remember a woman who was really loving and caring back in Morocco, and she was really emotional and disappointed when I removed the headscarf. And I said, "Do you love me or the fact that I wear a headscarf?" And she said, "You." And I said, "Then I am still the same. Right? Like our gender, disability, sexuality, religion, anything. We shouldn't hide those things." And this song, along with Alone by Ava Max, I always share it with my friends and loved ones.
Well, I think there's a real meaning in those words there, Itto. And thank you very much, Itto Outeni, for sharing your tracks of my life with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much. And it was lovely connecting with you today.
If you save yourself from marriage, you're a bore.